Pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you that we can be here, Lord, and Lord, what a joy it is to open your word, to read your word, and God, that you didn't just number one, leave us alone. You left us with your spirit, but you also left us with all this information, and God, it's directing and guiding us towards you and toward a deep, abiding relationship with you. And I pray that you would just impact our lives tonight. Bless this time. Open up this portion, especially one, Lord, when we hit these areas we're familiar with, and sometimes we kind of go through them and kind of get in our head, blah, 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 blah. And yet, Lord, it's your word. So I pray that, Lord, we would see just not necessarily new things, but, Lord, we'd see new insights for our lives in what we read, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as we look at Samson, remember, he's kind of governed by those, what I call the two S's. He's very, very, very self-absorbed, and he's very, very, very into seduction. And he's got women problem, and he's got it all the time. Now, here's an interesting thing as we look at him. Even tonight, as we look at everything he did, remember, God raised him up to be a judge of Israel, and he said he raised him up to begin to deliver Israel. You know, some people say he blew it because he only began, but that's what he was raised up for. But when you look at him, he never rallied Israel, never got an army behind him, never got the country behind him, and technically never fought anything that he didn't cause. Kind of a strange guy, right? When you really kind of, when you start looking at this guy and looking, you know, even just past all the sexual things that he got in trouble with, he was kind of a piece of work. Now, here's the thing, though, we can't deny he's included in Hebrews chapter 11, right? The hall of faith that we talk about. And there's Samson, and, you know, I have to be honest, I read that and I go, really? You know, there's other guys, but really Samson? Because I think Samson is a very, very, very tragic story. Here's a guy that had so much. He had so much going for him. And he had these godly parents who loved him and raised him and poured into him. And yet he blows it so bad. And he's the opposite we talked about. He's the opposite of he's going to come to me in a minute. The one guy, no, not Daniel, the other judge. Just a minute, it'll come. Anyway, a judge a couple times ago. Thank you, Jephthah. There you go. See, that's, I'm making sure you guys are paying attention. I knew it all the time. I just want to make sure you're with me. But Jephthah, remember, Jephthah had like so much going against him, and yet he made it and finished, and Samson has so much going for him, and he completely blows it. So here's what Samson is to me. He's a great caution light for my life. Samson's extremely gifted. He's anointed by God. You can't deny that. He's in a position where God can use him mightily, and God even does, but yet he blows it. He has no connection with God. No relationship. And that should be for all of us, man. We should, you know, mark this section of Scripture like with a big yellow light and say, this should speak to all of our hearts. And we need to be really, really careful when we serve the Lord and what we do. So look at what's going on. He's, you know, it says he judged for 20 years. At the end of this, it says he judged for 20 years. I don't think he had a 40-year run. I think he had the 20-year, and this is part of that, but it says, now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there. Now, something to keep in mind, Gaza's about 40 miles away, so he went on quite a trip to go, and he went to Gaza. Now, here's my opinion, I don't think he went to Gaza looking for a harlot. I think he went to Gaza, and I think a harlot was there. I think in spite of the law and everything that was going on, there were plenty of harlots in Israel, so it's not like he went 40 miles to do that, but nonetheless, here's the problem, and we see it coming up over and over again in his life, right? The Timnah, the wife at Timnah, et cetera, et cetera. So here he is, he goes to Gaza, saw a harlot, and went into her. So that's his trap, that's his weakness, and you know something for all of us? When you know your weakness, because I think if we're honest, most of us know our weakness. We know what can get us. when you know that, you should put up guards against that. You should put up fences and barriers and boundaries in your life so you don't get caught up in that. Like, I think a good idea for Samson, don't ever travel alone, dude. You know, just make sure some other guy's there for some accountability and keep you safe. And, you know, he's not listening, I know, but, you know, that's just... So he goes there. Now listen, verse 2, when the Gazites were told Samson has come here, they surrounded the place. They lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning when it is daylight, we will kill him. So these guys think they got him trapped, right? He's at the harlot's house. They got it together. And here goes Samson. Verse 3, and Samson lay low until midnight. Then he arose at midnight. He took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron, or some translations say to the hill at Hebron. So here's what happens. He gets wind of what's going on. And he uses the giftedness that God has given him. Remember, this power was a gift from God. He jerks these gates up. Most people say they would have weighed about 6,000 pounds. Listen, buff guys can't even do that, you know, right? So he's got these gates, he carries them, and then some people say this, he couldn't have carried them 40 miles. If you can lift 6,000 pounds, you can take it wherever you want. That's what I think. You know, the miracle is in the gates coming up. 40 miles is nothing. It cracks me up when you read critics. Well, he couldn't have carried it that far. You know, they're heavy. He couldn't have pulled them out of the ground, you know. It's like, if God gave him the strength and the, you know, the miracle to get them up, he could take them. So, you know, regardless, so here's what, he's letting them know, you can't catch me. Now here again, he's got this thing going on and he puts the Philistines down, but it had nothing to do with him serving Israel. It had nothing to do with him defending Israel. It had everything to do with his weakness, you know, and his animalistic drive for sex. And here he is. So he does that. Now we kind of skip ahead. I don't know how long. In verse 4, afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Here we are. Samson and Delilah, right? Hey, you don't even have to be saved to know about Samson and Delilah. There's movies about him. There's talk about him. And they do all these things. Now, here's the thing. Here he comes. He comes. He's in love with this lady. Now, a couple things. Here's what's kind of strange to me. Scholars try and figure out what her name means, you know, and you'll understand why in a minute, why there's a little bit of a dilemma. Her name could mean devotee, which many say if that was what her name meant, she would have been a devotee to a temple, meaning she was a temple prostitute. So again, you have another harlot involved, et cetera, et cetera. Or her name could mean to weaken or impoverish someone. So here now you have somebody who can come in and weaken you and suck everything out of you. That's what her name means. So here's what I'm thinking. Either name is bad news, right? Now listen, if your name's Delilah today, not so much I'm talking about you. I'm talking about her and in the original language and in the Hebrew. So there's some bad stuff going on. I think, number one, once you hit that, I think by now, by the time we hit verse 4 of chapter 16, I believe that he should know, I got a weakness. Right? Don't you guys think? Come on. He's every bad thing that's happened in his life has been because of women. It's not good for him. And I think he should know that. And I think he, again, should put up safeguards. Hey, in 2 Timothy, this is a great verse. I know you do it for a lot of young people, but this is for all of us. In 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 22, it says this. And here's how you can always remember this verse. 2:2:2, right? So listen. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee those things. There's nothing wrong with seeing something and running from it. But our problem is we don't want to be that person. And here's what I mean by that. A lot of us are afraid to be that person at work who takes the stand for some moral issue or takes, you know, we don't, well, everybody call me a Jesus freak. They'll call me goody two-shoes. They'll call me holier than thou. And we begin to not do those things. Listen, I think we should do those things. Not in a self-righteous way, but we should do it in such a way where we would tell people, I'm going to choose not to do that. I'm not going to partake in that. You know what? I've made decisions in my life that I'm not going to do that anymore. Hey, I've done that throughout my life, and I continue to do that. And sometimes I get in trouble with people. I have friends. I have Christian friends who I've made some decisions, and they go, seriously? What are you trying to prove? And I tell them, I'm not trying to prove anything. I've just chosen not to do that. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, because then you guys will think you don't have to do it, and we get all legalistic that way. Listen, there are things for me. And I've been put down not just by the world, but by other believers. But you know what? They were stumbling blocks for me. And there are things I know would get me and trap me and bring me down. I know me. And here's the bad thing. I don't get enough of those out of my life, if you know what I'm talking about. So I think we should do that. We should flee those youthful lusts and get away from them. Here's what I'm thinking. If Samson would have done it before chapter 16, would have been great, right? If he would have done it before verse 4, it would have been great. Even in the middle of verse 4, even after he sees Delilah, if he would have done it. But now he's entangled and involved again with another woman. And this time, it's going to ruin him. This time, it's not just going to cost him his ministry, although it is. It's going to cost him everything. Bummer. I don't like this chapter. I'm kind of stalling because I want to get to the end. Kind of hope so. You know, don't you ever pray for these? Come on, repent, bro. Repent right here. Make verse 5 say, and Samson went home to mom and dad. Come on. Now, here's an interesting thing that some people put forward, and I don't think we'll ever know. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll know. She could have been a Jew, because where she's at is right on the border. Now, most people think she's a Philistine because she's involved in cahoots with them here, and probably so, but she could have been a Jew. So we can't just talk about, you know, never date girls outside of your faith or date men outside of your faith, although I think that's a phenomenal way to go, and I think it's the only way and the right way to go, but I don't think we can necessarily use her as that example. And yet, here's the thing, I think we should always, if we're looking for someone or wanting to date somebody or going that direction, I think we should look for somebody that would inspire us to follow God, that would inspire us in our relationship and encourage us in our relationship with God. I think that's the mate we all need. I know God gave me that mate, and I'm blessed that I have that mate, but we should, even as single people, you should look for somebody who's going to encourage that and be part of that. So here he is with this lady. Verse 5, you know, she's got a problem too. Look at verse 5. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him, find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Delilah's issue? Money. Right? Doesn't it bum you that Delilah loved money more than Samson? Bums me for Samson. I want to whisper in his ear, dude, run. It's not good. So they come, and here's their dilemma. We don't know why he's so strong. What does that tell us? Because I think this is important. It tells us he wasn't some big buff, you know, guy running around all muscled out, all buffed out, all cut, and, you know, has a perfect six-pack and all of that. That wasn't going, he couldn't have been that guy, because if they would have seen that guy, they would have known where his strength come from, huh? I think he was just a normal-looking guy, and they're going, how does that guy do the things he does? How does that happen? We got to figure this out. And so they want to know, they're going to pay her enough money where she never has to work another day in her life. How much would you sell out for? It's kind of a strange question, isn't it? Some of us go, $10 million. It's kind of a bummer, isn't it? I look at her and I go, why are you doing this, you know? So they offer her the money. Now, here's what I think. This is my opinion. We've been watching him kind of go downhill. Remember as a young guy, he killed that lion and played with it and touched the dead carcass, got the honey and stuff. He knew he wasn't supposed to be doing that. Remember, Numbers chapter 6, he's a Nazirite. Then he even played around with grapes and wine. As a matter of fact, this valley he's in is a big vineyard. So he's hanging out there, and I keep thinking, why do you keep testing? Why do you keep pushing? Why do you keep seeing how close you can get to sin without really sinning? And maybe even, why do you keep testing God? Listen, God blesses us, gives us gifts, and then we take those gifts and God uses us. And then we begin to say, well, you know, let me see what I can get away with, even in my giftedness. And here's this guy, he's been pushing the envelope the whole time in his life. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking his mom probably smacked him a few times. Because she's the one that got the word from the angel, right? So here he is. Look at this one. Delilah says to him in verse 6, Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and what may and with what you may be bound to afflict you. Now, I don't know about you guys. If someone comes up to you and says, how can I tie you up so you can't get away? I think at that point, here's what I'm thinking. This is not a good relationship. Something's a little strange, right? Wouldn't you think that? Wouldn't you think, I don't think this girl really loves me. I mean, shouldn't it end right here? Seriously, shouldn't, you know, I'm thinking, how dense is this man? This is a little strange. What is it that we can tie you up that we can afflict you? What would do that, honey? And then look at his answer, because his answer is interesting to me, his first answer. Samson said to her, now here's the thing, here's what I think. I think he thinks he can outwit her too. So I think not only did he have this whole issue with sexual drive and that whole thing going on in his life, I think he also thought, I can outwit this lady. You know, he kind of messed with her. Remember the other guys he messed with? Answer this riddle and I'll give you this. And so I think he was kind of that guy. So here's what he's thinking. I'll just mess with her head for a while. You know, we can play this game. And so, but look what he does. So Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. There's an issue there. Remember what century we're in. We're not in the 21st century. We're back in, you know, like the 500 BC century. What would they make bowstrings out of? Well, they even make some today. What would they make them out of? Guts and intestines. What is he not supposed to touch? Dead things. I'm thinking, bro, why do you do that? Why does Samson do that? Why does he like get, I'm going to see. And do you think maybe he's even testing God? You think maybe he's even saying, I'm going to tell her that, see if God gets me for doing this, if God doesn't get me. And here's what some of us do. We sin, God doesn't get us, and we go, woohoo, I'm going to do that again. Not a good idea. You don't want to play with God. So here's what he does. He kind of, and you know, maybe I'm reading too much, but I think this was a bad thing to come up with, number one. So the Lord, verse 8, so the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. So bottom line, she's binding him with intestines is what she's doing. Kind of gross, huh? And now the men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. And she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches a fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. So he just jumps right up and everything breaks. And again, not he, man, just does it. Now, at this point, wouldn't you quit? At this point, when you say, listen, she asked me something. She tied me up while I was asleep. This is, again, not a good relationship. This is like a one-way relationship. I really love her, but I'm not so sure she loves me. And then Delilah said to Samson, verse 10, look how you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me with what you may be, tell me what you may be bound with. Again, just kind of ironic when we read this, right? It's kind of, Do any of you sit and talk with your spouses or boyfriends or girlfriends about this kind of stuff? Hey, what is it that I can tie you up with and you can't get away? Well, most of it's pretty simple, right? A shoestring. Rope. Anything you got on you. So there again, she goes, come on, quit lying to me. You're mocking me. So he said to her, if they bind me securely with new ropes. And that kind of changes a little bit, right? That have never been used, then I shall become weak and like any other man. Therefore, Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And the men were lying in wait, staying in a room, but he broke them off his arms as a thread. So here he goes. He's doing this, right? So the next thing, now he's going to get close. He's going to get close. And the next thing he does, Delilah said to Samson, until now you've mocked me and told me lies. Tell me with what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my head into the web of a loom. So she wove tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, and Samson. But he awoke from his sleep, pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. So now he's got this loom hanging on his back of his head, and you know, and he's up. So that didn't work. But what did he do? He got close, didn't he? Because what is his strength? His strength is not necessarily his hair. We think hair, but it's not hair. It's his relationship with the Lord, and the hair is a symbol of that. And he knows that. He knows, according to who he is, he's not supposed to cut his hair. He's not supposed to drink wine. He's not supposed to cut any cut. He's not supposed to touch dead animals. Not even supposed to eat raisins. So, you know, he knows what Numbers chapter 6 says. He knows who he is. And now he's beginning to play. Here's what happens. See, sometimes we do things and we get away with them. And then we begin to think, well, it's okay. I got away with it. It's all right. And here's what's even worse. Sometimes we do things and get away with them, and God still uses us, and then we really think we're okay. But the whole time, our heart is drifting away from God. And our relationship is drifting away from God. And we're getting cold and dry. Now listen, we can go through cold and dry times in our life. That happens. And I think God does that on purpose to get us to draw close. But listen, this is a person who still has all the outward trappings, all the giftedness, everything looks good, everything seems okay, but inside is dead man's bones. Stinks in there. And here we have this guy, I'm thinking, why did you do this? Listen to Hebrews chapter 2, because I think this is what happened to him. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard. Listen, lest we drift away. Samson's drifting. He's drifting big time. And so here he is. He got that close. He's got this loom. Here's the picture I have of him. I like an artist's rendition of this, just to draw a picture of him so we would understand. Here we have this guy. He's got guts hanging on him. He's got ropes hanging on the other side. He's got a loom stuck in his hair. He's going, but I'm okay. Listen, that's what we look like, right? When we're in that place, man, we're sinning. We're doing stupid things. We've got all this garbage on us. Everybody's going, ooh, you look horrible. And we go, but I'm okay. God's still using me. He wouldn't use me if I wasn't okay. Everything's all right. I'm fine. And the whole time, man, you know you're not. And so listen. So here's what she does. She gets all freaked out. And then she does, she does the lady thing, but some ladies might get mad. She plays the emotion card, okay? We'll just say it that way. I'm trying to think of a politically correct way to say this because I know some of you are going to get me tonight. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times, and you've not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words, and she pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Ay, ay, ay. This is just, don't stop reading. This is just not a good relationship, is it? Verse 17, she did all that. Listen, that he told her all his heart. I underline that part, that he told her all his heart. Because I don't think it was just from the pestering all day and I think he loved this lady. And he didn't just tell her, listen, he didn't just tell her the secret. He shared with her. He shared his heart with her. And that's an important thing to remember. You need to be careful who you share your heart with. And he opens up and he shares his heart with her. And the whole time, man, she's deceiving him and she's getting him and she's building him up. And here he opens up, he does that. Then, as he shares his heart, he said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak like any other man. Oh, Samson, why did you do that? Because here's what I believe. He's broken every part of that vow, except for the one. And I think in his heart of hearts, here's what he knew. I've broken every part of that vow but one. And yet he may even be playing with, I've broken every part of that vow and gotten away with it. So, no big deal. Playing with God. Maybe he, in his heart of hearts, thought, I touched the dead body, I played with grapes, I drank some stuff, I've been, you know, with a lot of women, God hasn't done anything. As a matter of fact, he still gives me strength, he still used me in a mighty way. The hair is no big deal, right? So he lets her know. Verse 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her his heart, again, she's kind of a crafty lady, right? I don't like Delilah. Not a nice lady. Don't date her. She sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all that is in his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Hey, everybody's thinking this is a deal, right? This is it. They bring her the money. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees, and she called for a man, and he had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength had left him, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out before as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Oh, that's the worst thing in the world. Did you hear that last part? He did not know. I think we should know. In other words, his relationship with the Lord had become so ritualistic, so callous, so cold, that he didn't even know the Lord was gone. Would you know it if the Lord left you tonight? You see, this is a good question we should know. Would you know if he just all of a sudden was out of your life and you're left alone and you're left to your own devices? And here he is, man. He didn't even have a clue until he had no strength. And then it's too late. The Philistines, look what they did. Verse 21, then the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and there they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. So here's this guy who at one time had everything possible to succeed and to be mightily used of God, and even was in some ways. And now, he's grinding They're using him like an animal. Someone said this. Listen, someone said it this way, that sin is blinding, binding, and has a grinding results. You see, it always looks beautiful, doesn't it? Come on, if sin didn't look beautiful, people wouldn't do it, right? If the thing that was going to destroy you showed up like a seven-headed monster, you would run from it. Sin never shows up in my life. Sin never comes and knocks on my heart and goes, "Hi, I'm here to destroy you." But also notice this was a process he went through. He didn't just fall. I think it started years ago when he killed the lion. And then he ate the honey from the lion's carcass. And then he played and he played and he played and he played. And that's usually what happens. Here's what goes on. We do something, we get away with it, we think we're okay. We don't stop, we don't confess it, we don't repent, we don't, you know, talk to God about it. We just got away with it. And so here he is now. Now, don't you get bummed at this? Here he is. He's grinding food. Verse 22 says, however, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. That's kind of interesting, that little however in there, right? I think 23 and 24 are the saddest verses. Listen. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. They said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who has multiplied our dead." Samson was supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. He was supposed to be set apart for the service of the Lord. Everything in his life was directed to glorify God. And who does he glorify? Dagon. Because of his sin and because of what he did, the enemy got the glory. Now think about that in our own lives. You see, we have to be careful, don't we? Because here's what happens. People are watching us. Do you know people are watching you? Some of your friends, some of your family. Especially if you tell people I'm a believer. Here's what I always challenge everybody. Hey, when you go to work tomorrow, gather everybody around and say, "Hey, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I just wanted you all to know that. And I want to follow him and I love him." And then it's out of the way, right? Now everything's out. But here's the thing. When we do that, you know what happens? They start watching us. They start watching what we do. And by our actions, we are either going to glorify God or glorify the devil. Aren't you bummed that Samson ended up glorifying the devil? Who got the glory here? I'm thinking this is like the worst of the worst of the worst. And I don't care if hair is popping out of his head. This is bad. So they get the glory. So now some hair is growing. And some people love the end. I think it's okay. I don't think it's great. So it happened, when their hearts were merry, they said, "Call for Samson that he may perform for us." Now, that's kind of a complicated thing. I'm not sure they said, "Call for him so he can be the clown in the middle of the arena and we'll all laugh at him." I don't know that he had anything, any performance abilities. They might just be saying, "Call so that he can walk around and we can all mock and make fun of him. Because this is the guy who did so many great things," right? So they want to bring him out. They're all in the place where it happened with their hearts. They were merry, and so they bring him out. And I think they had some help getting merry. And it says, so they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them, and they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who led him by the hand, "Let me fill the pillars which support the temple so I can lean on them." So listen, he's got a plan, even at the end of his life. And people go, "Woohoo! No, it's not a good plan, Sammy." So he's telling a young guy, "Get me to that place." Now, somebody said, here's the funny thing. It might have been from previous visits that he went there when he was going and hitting on Delilah, trying to entice her. Maybe when he went, because this is in Gaza, maybe when he went and carried the gates out. He had to have some kind of visual of that temple where they're at, the auditorium or whatever you want to call it, where they're at. Because he's blind now. Remember, he can't see. He says, I want to get by these pillars. So he knew what, he had an idea of where he needed to be, what he needed to do. So he said, let me fill them. Verse 27, now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching Samson perform. Then Samson called out, or called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. That's a pretty selfish prayer, isn't it? Here's what I'm thinking. Dude, you just don't get it. I don't know, maybe when the rocks start falling on his head and hit him hard enough, he finally got the picture. Because here's the thing. Even in the end of his life, he's not in it to glorify God. He's in it to take vengeance. Think of your life. You see, as I read this, here's what grieves me. Is Samson isn't in a place where he wants to exalt and lift up the name of the Lord. Samson's still all about Samson and all about his giftedness and all about what God has given him. And he's all about, I got to have revenge. That, you know what? That's the worst thing in our lives, when you seek to get revenge. It'll kill you. It's going to kill him, literally. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. It'll eat you up. And isn't it yet, if we're honest, one of the hardest things to stay away from? Hey, somebody hurts us. Somebody does something to us. We want to get them, don't we? Am I the only one who does that? You guys are like looking at me with blank looks. Come on. We're thinking, I want to get them. That's what the devil tells us. I had a young guy text me last night. What happens when blah, 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 and they're slandering? And I go, really hurts, and it's really hard. But you need to let the Lord defend you. He texted me back. Now, what defines a member of the church? And I'm thinking, what does that have to say with what I just told you? But anyway, you know, we kind of think, well, maybe if they're not a member of the church, I can shoot them. I don't know what he was thinking as far as that goes. But here he's doing, man, I hear this prayer, and here's what I think. If I were God, I wouldn't answer the prayer. But, listen, God does things in spite of us. Doesn't do them because of us. He does them oftentimes in spite of us. He's going to do something here, and he's going to answer this prayer, and this guy's going to get his prayer answered, but it's not because he's a great guy. It's not because he's a spiritual guy. It's because God has a plan. Remember way back, he is going to begin to deliver Israel. They have to get in a place where these Philistines are in such a frenzy and stuff going on where David can come in several years later. Because this is technically the end of Judges chronologically. We still got some Judges to read, stuff that happened in the middle. But this is chronologically the end. Then after him is Samuel, then after Samuel is Saul, then after Saul is David, when the Philistines are finally taken care of. So this was all the starting of that stirring. So listen, he says that, verse 29, and Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and one and the other on his left. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Now that prayer was answered. And he pushed with all of his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. So a lot of people say this. If at the end God answered that prayer and he did that, he's a hero. I still don't think he's a hero. This is, again, my opinion. You can put him up there as a hero if you want. Hey, I believe he was in the Hall of Faith for other reasons. But listen, you can put him up there. He can be your hero if you want. But here's the thing. Don't emulate his life. Don't emulate anything about his life. There's nothing in Samson that you could take away from and go, that's who I want to be. You know what the greatest thing Samson gives us? an example of who not to be, and an example of someone who's so self-absorbed and gets so caught up in things and thinks that they're exempt from God because God, in His grace, doesn't judge us the minute we do something. Hallelujah, huh? And God, in His grace, uses us. Oftentimes, when we never deserve to be used, He still uses us because of His grace, not because of us. And I look at this guy and I go, what a horrible, horrible, horrible end to a guy who had so much going for him. I think of Mr. and Mrs. Manoah, you know, way back. Had that whole angel experience. That angel showed up. Can you imagine the day that angel showed up? Remember, we read it. Do you know how excited they were? Can you imagine the day He was born? This is Him. This is the one we were promised He's going to deliver Israel. So much good is going to happen. Do you know how the heartbreak that those two had? I think they're dead by now. Look at the next verse. I think they're gone. It says, and his brothers and all his father's household came down, took him, and they brought him, and they buried him between Zorah and Eshtol, just in case we were wondering, in the tomb of his father Manoah, and he judged Israel 20 years. So his father already had a tomb. Now, could have meant his father owned a tomb, but I think his father was already dead. I think his mom and dad, God bless them. Then they poured into this guy. They had such hope, and here he is at the end. Nothing. So we have to ask ourselves. Listen, I think these are some things we have to ask ourselves. Number one, if there's some sin you're getting away with, and probably technically who isn't in here, let's spend some time tonight before you go to sleep confessing that to God. Open up to Him and tell Him, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did that. I know it was sin. I know it was ugly. I know it was... Let Him know and get it out on a table. Here's the great thing I love about our God. You get it out on the table, and then He begins to deal with it. And then He begins to give us opportunity to have victory over that sin. So let's do that. Let's, number one, let's do that. Number two, if we're in an area of any kind of service for God, let's make sure we keep our hands off of it. Let's make sure we don't take the glory. That is one of the things that I think Chuck Smith left the world. Chuck never touched it. Never touched the glory of God. When I think of that man, I was in Tucson with him one time, like we were great friends, hanging out, just Chuck and I. Robert Furrow was getting ready to dedicate his building, and he had a dinner for some of the pastors and Chuck. So we went to, I think we're at Tony Roma's. And on the way out, this kind of blew my mind. We're getting ready to leave the restaurant and we're leaving and Chuck's walking out. There was another young couple just out for dinner and stuff. And they just cut him off, cut right in front of him walking and just like kind of bumped into him and kind of pushed him out of the way. And I watched that and I thought, if you only knew who you were bumping into, if you only knew who you were being rude to, you know, look at this. You know, I'm looking at him thinking, look what this man has done. And you know what Chuck did? Oh, excuse me. Sorry. That's the kind of guy he was. Listen, it never went to his... He was so far... He's the anti-Samson. It's so far on the other end of it. And you know what? That's what we need to do. You know, we need to be people who are so far away. Don't touch the glory. If God has used you in any way, you know, maybe you vacuumed the floor really good tonight. Don't take credit for it. God just lets you push a vacuum around. Do you know what I'm talking about? So let's stay away, because that was Samson's problem, man. He started thinking, I'm Samson. I don't think, again, we always do the rrr, but... He started thinking he's all buffed out and he was all that, and he's so not that. So that end, we live in a sexual world, like it or not. That's where we're at. And we're in that world, and you know what? There's temptations, and there's, to me, in my mind, a bazillion temptations a day, both for men and women. And, you know, it's usually men stay off of porn sites and Lately, I hear there's just as much women going, stay away from those things. Put guards up. Put things in your life. Don't let those things get you. Watch out, because it breaks my heart where he ends up. Listen, he ends up so bad in this that this lady says, how can I tie you up? And he tells her. That's how bad it can get. You lose any kind of sensibility about you. So as we leave tonight, let's think about those things in our lives. Let's pray about those things in our lives. And here's what we can do. We can be anti-Samsons, right? We can be on the other end of it. And you know what? We can honor and glorify God because we have such a great God. And never presume upon the grace of God. Hey, if he lets you get away with it this morning, talk to him about it tonight. Because here's what I know, he's faithful and just. I quote this all the time, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if he were to come tonight, wouldn't you want to be clean? I don't want to meet Jesus with sin, you know, and go, I was just going to talk to you about that. And now we kind of have to deal with it face to face. And, you know, it gets a little uncomfortable, right? It's a little awkward. And when you meet Jesus, you don't want any awkwardness, right? You want it to be, woohoo, I'm so glad you're here. You don't want to go, oh, not right now. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you. Lord, we thank you for this example of Samson and who he is. And Lord, I just think again of his life and just the tragedy. The absolute tragedy of a man who had so much going for him. God, he was in such a place and raised up for such a purpose. And he just squandered it. He just let it all go. And God, I pray that we would be aware of that in our own lives. And we would be so real and so honest with you. That, Lord, we would allow you to examine us, you to check us out. And we would guard against, as Hebrews chapter 2 said, against that drifting away. That we would heed what we hear. We'd listen to you. We'd listen to your voice. We'd listen to your word. And we would heed it so that we would not drift away. We'd put that anchor into you. And we would trust you, O God. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. God, thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen.